as brief as possible. While my slides are loading, I'll introduce myself. My name is Pamela Klein. I'm a PhD student in epidemiology at the University of North Carolina. And I work predominantly with the expanded HIV testing program in North Carolina. But we've used that as an opportunity to examine some PIXI-related themes. And today I'll be speaking about concurrent HIV-STD testing by patient-chief complaint in an academic emergency department. So I'll just start with a brief outline of my presentation, nothing too surprising here. I'll go through my backgrounds, a brief description of my methods, a brief overview of our patient population, then delve into some of our results, and end with conclusions and future directions for the project. So as many of you are quite familiar with, in 2006, the CDC released revised HIV testing recommendations to routinize HIV testing in clinical settings. However, many clinical settings are still performing targeted HIV testing in their settings, and that includes targeting patients with suspected STDs. And the reason for this is often due to resource constraints, either financial, personnel, or otherwise, as well as taking into consideration the state of the epidemic in the catchment area of the clinical setting. However, this HIV testing has been recommended for all patients receiving an STD evaluation, actually since 1998. However, if you look at some of the data that's been published, the data show that HIV testing in suspected or diagnosed STD patients remains quite low. This is a look at some of the literature, a variety of clinical settings and patient populations. The proportion of those who are tested for HIV ranges anywhere from about 3% to about 30%. And that last line there is some work that we presented at the last STD prevention conference looking at University of North Carolina in 2009 in our emergency department. And there's really limited data regarding concurrent HIV-STD testing in these types of settings after the introduction of the 06 recommendations. So there's still inadequate testing in this very high-risk population. So our objective is to determine if concurrent HIV-STD testing in an academic emergency department is influenced by the patient's chief complaint at triage. For some of our methods, I apologize for the slightly busy slide. Our patient population included all patients who were tested for syphilis, gonorrhea, or chlamydial infection in 2009 at the UNC Emergency Department, which is based in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. We selected 2009 because in that year we had a very large syphilis outbreak in the state, and which also had a very high rate of HIV and syphilis co-infection. Our emergency department HIV testing program is a targeted program, and one of the indications that we requested providers do HIV testing for was patients who were suspected as having an STD. And we also do not have any external staff for this program. It is solely done by existing emergency department staff, and we're sort of a moderate prevalence state. It's mostly rural and suburban. We don't have any major metropolitan settings, there we go, like other parts of the country. Our primary exposure was patient chief complaint at triage, and our outcome was having an HIV test ordered at the same visit as the STD test. We did descriptive analyses as well as multivariate exact logistic regression due to some small numbers. And in sensitivity analyses, we explored alternate chief complaint categorizations, as well as the inclusion of a robust variance estimator to account for patients who were seen multiple times over this one-year period. So I'll briefly describe how we categorize chief complaints. In the medical record, it's listed as a single text field. And again, this is what patients present with at triage before they've seen a care provider. So we grouped them into these smaller groups and then congregated those into larger categories. So the clinical, the chief complaints that we considered directly STD-related were those relating to genitourinary complaints, things having to do with the rash or with the skin or a rash, potential STD exposure, sexual assault, as well as substance abuse. Then we have sort of this in-between category that could potentially be STD-related, more nebulous and vague complaints, such as abdominal pain, nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, psychological complaints, and fever, flu. And again, for you clinicians in the audience, flu is based on the patient complaint at triage, does not indicate that the person actually has influenza. They could just be feeling really, really sick. We have pregnancy, which we kept separate, and then unrelated complaints were predominantly due to chest pain, cerebrovascular complaints, headache, weakness, and then a few other random ones. This is a brief overview of our patient population. Due to some of our previous research, we've seen that HIV testing trends really differ depending on the STD that you're looking at. So we have stratified by syphilis, gonorrhea, and chlamydial infection. Of the about 500 syphilis patients who were tested for syphilis, only 30% of them were tested for HIV at that same visit. Of the about 2,000 gonorrhea and chlamydial infection testers, only 4% of them were tested at the same time for HIV. So not quite what we would expect, and so we want to take a little bit closer look to see why, what might be driving these associations. We then looked at, I should also note that among the syphilis testers, younger patients were more likely to be tested for HIV than older patients, and among the gonorrhea and chlamydial infection testers, male patients were more likely to be HIV tested than female patients. So we then looked at the distribution of chief complaints by STD. And for, among syphilis testers, only about 35% of them presented with some sort of related complaint, and that would include directly related, potentially related, or pregnancy complaints. However, 97% of the gonorrhea and chlamydial infection testers presented with some sort of related complaint. So there's a very, very big difference in the distribution of chief complaints depending on the STD test that was ordered. This graph shows concurrent HIV testing by chief complaint, further stratified by STD. So you can see that among the syphilis testers who presented with a directly related complaint, 77% of them were concurrently tested for HIV. And every single one of the five patients who were tested for syphilis who presented with a pregnancy-related complaint were tested, all five of them. And so you can see generally that among syphilis testers, those who presented with more related complaints were more likely to be tested for HIV. We see sort of the opposite trend among gonorrhea and chlamydial infection testers. As I noted before, overall, the testing HIV testing rate was quite low, about less than 4%. However, among pregnancy-related or among unrelated complaints, HIV testing was higher than among related complaints, which we thought was quite interesting. In the next few slides, I'm going to take a look at each STD separately. The graph at the top is just a zoom in on what was shown on the previous slide, and then below we have the adjusted odds ratios for the association between chief complaint and concurrent HIV testing. I should note that these odds ratios are adjusted for patient race, ethnicity, gender, and age. As you can see, as I noted before, that patients presenting with more directly related complaints and more potentially related complaints and pregnancy-related complaints were more likely to be tested for HIV than those with unrelated complaints. And I will very quickly acknowledge that we have some wide confidence intervals here due to some small numbers. And, of course, our confidence interval goes towards infinity for pregnancy because all five patients were tested for HIV. So, again, we see sort of the opposite story among gonorrhea testers, where patients presenting with related complaints were less likely, much less likely, to be tested for HIV than patients presenting with unrelated complaints. Again, we see the wide confidence intervals, and actually it was really among those presenting with pregnancy-related complaints that were the least likely to be tested for HIV. And we see the same trend among chlamydial infection testers, slightly different numbers, just because the referent group, a portion of with the unrelated patient, unrelated chief complaints, a greater proportion of them were tested for HIV than among the gonorrhea testers with unrelated chief complaints. But the same trend that patients with related complaints were less likely to be tested for HIV. So just a brief summary of our results. Among syphilis testers, most patients presented with unrelated complaints. However, those with STD-related conditions were more likely to receive a concurrent HIV test, and all pregnant syphilis testers were also tested for HIV. And among gonorrhea and chlamydial infection testers, nearly all of them presented with a related complaint. However, those patients were less likely to receive a concurrent HIV test than those with unrelated complaints. And the HIV testing of pregnant patients was very low. And again, I should note that these are pregnant at triage, so it was noted in the chief complaint. It's not a positive pregnancy test in the emergency department. So in conclusion, we believe this shows some sort of moderate awareness of the need for integrated HIV syphilis testing. The numbers are still not where we would like them to be, but you do see that providers are testing patients with more related complaints than unrelated complaints. But we think that ED providers are not quite making the connection yet for other STDs, especially among gonorrhea testers. We think this might be because ED providers want to focus on the immediate problem at hand, and they don't see themselves as primary care providers. Also, you know, I mentioned this was during a syphilis outbreak in the state, so there's a lot of education about the syphilis outbreak, but maybe not translated so much to gonorrhea and chlamydia. And this just emphasizes how important it is that HIV and STD prevention services work together for effective disease control. So we do have a few future directions. Sort of the first two are more analytic future directions. The first, we would really like to speak with the ED providers and about how they handle these gonorrhea and chlamydial infection patients. I am not a clinician, and I do not intend to, you know, guess at what their decision-making process is with these patients, so we'd like to speak with them a little bit more. And then, as I mentioned, this was just using chief complaint at triage, and so we'd like to look at this a little further to see if the results differ if we include the provider clinical impression or a discharge diagnosis. But regardless of those two things, you know, it's really hard to try and work with providers and get them to think about, oh, well, I'm seeing this person with gonorrhea, and we should test them for HIV. So we'd really like to move towards routinizing this and taking this decision out of the provider's hands. And so we're currently working with the emergency department to implement reflexive HIV testing for syphilis testers. And if this is successful, we can move on to gonorrhea testers. And we, of course, will try to educate our providers and increase their knowledge and awareness about the need for integrated service delivery. Just like if I have some time, I'd like to acknowledge co-authors at UNC, Peter Leone and Cindy Gay, and Ian Martin in the emergency department. And at the State Health Department, Pete Moore, Jan Scott, Lynn Sampson, and Janet Alexander, who all work on the expanded testing program, are funding with the HIV prevention program. And I do have some time for questions, and my email address is listed there.
One of the big challenges for emergency medicine is the follow-up and how you decide whether someone can be discharged from the ED versus being admitted is what's going to be the safest and most expeditious way to move the patient along. And you said in this emergency department that any testing they do is just because they choose to do it, there's not support from,
so I thought about putting a slide in here showing our full diagram. I figured in the interest of time I would leave it out. So this is actually supported within the UNC Hospitals network. So we do blood-based HIV testing. We now have the fourth generation Architect test. And all patients who are tested in the emergency department are given a referral card that they can come to the UNC Infectious Disease Clinic for their results, and we leave it at that for negative patients. All positive patients, as soon as results are in, are contacted by the Infectious Disease Clinic, and we get them into, they are welcome to care at UNC Infectious Disease Clinic. If we can't reach them, we call DIS right away. We've been able to notify every single one of our positives and get the majority of them linked to care.
So, I mean, that's one big barrier. The other is trying to decide how I can move this along.
Right.
So that HIV test may add a level of complexity that is not urgent enough at the moment.
Yeah, so we were just trying to get them to order the test, and then we say, you know, do the blood draw, we'll take care of the rest. So hopefully we hope that we can get it to be a little more efficient. But yes.
I have a question for all the panelists. Oh. Since we're talking about for greater effectiveness teaming up hepatitis STD, as you mentioned, since STDs can be transmitted through sex, and as I understand it, pregnancy can be transmitted through sex. Since largely they can be prevented by using a condom or not having sex, I mean, all the health departments are set up a little bit differently. Is anybody teaming up hepatitis STD HIV prevention with unplanned pregnancy prevention, which makes more sense to me than teaming up with TB? Does that happen? Do we know if that's happening anywhere?
I can respond as far as from one health department. We are in the process. I think about a year and a half ago, there was some funding that came through for a personal responsibility and education program, grants that states were able to receive. And that was also then teenage pregnancy prevention as well as HIV-STD. And that then, because of that facilitation, we have gotten to, you know, a closer alliance with some of those services, and especially in the community, of doing some interventions that are not just been focused on HIV and STD, but also pregnancy prevention. I think the other thing is that we're also, and I know a number of states have already done this, as far as working with our family planning program in the Office of Public Health, and, you know, seeing how can we continue to integrate some of our STD HIV services in the clinics with the family planning services as well. So I know that's one experience.
Yeah, this is a question from the last speaker. Do you plan on evaluating whether or not HIV testing sites and care sites are testing HIV people for STD? In other words, what we see is people going into CBOs, get an HIV test, walk out the door, no one ever talks to them about syphilis, nobody talks to them about gonorrhea, nobody talks to them about chlamydia, nobody talks to them about hepatitis. It's like a standalone condition. We have patients who go to Ryan One Care Center. You just heard that a lot of people who are newly diagnosed with syphilis have had HIV diagnosed in the past. At the Ryan One Care Centers, don't test their patients every time they come in for HIV care for syphilis, gonorrhea, chlamydia. So, you know, there's another, I think there's a missed opportunity here.
Definitely.
To diagnose more STD at HIV sites as well as to diagnose more HIV and STD testing.
I agree with you 100%. We haven't looked at that direction of the association yet, and that's something we definitely plan to look at within the emergency department. I also work with a number of the community health centers in North Carolina. And so we have the data available to look at those, and I also know that a number of folks at the UNC Infectious Disease Clinic have looked at the provision of integrated services to HIV-positive folks coming into the clinic, but of course, people who come into the clinic are different from people who are not in care, you know, and so I think looking at that in, you know, more of a community health center setting or emergency department setting would be a great opportunity, and we haven't done that yet, but it's a great idea. We'll definitely look into it. Thank you.
Thank you.